Welcome to a series of netcasts brought to you by Yale University.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Yale Cancer Center Answers, where we provide you with up-to-date information on cancer care and research. Our host, Dr. Anish Chagpar, is Associate Professor of Surgical Oncology and Director of the Breast Center at Smilow Cancer Hospital. She interviews some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer. If you are interested in past editions of Yale Cancer Center Answers, all of the shows are posted on the Yale Cancer Center website at yalecancercenter.org. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu. Here's Dr. Chagpar.
Welcome back to another episode of Yale Cancer Center Answers. I'm Dr. Anish Chagpar, and I'm joined today by my guest, Dr. Peter Koo. Dr. Koo is an associate professor of medicine in medical oncology, and he's here with us today to talk about the development of new drugs for the treatment and prevention of cancer. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Peter, let's start off by talking about lung cancer, because that's really, as I understand it, your main focus.
Yes, correct.
So, tell us about the current therapies for lung cancer. I mean, do we do a pretty good job at the moment treating this disease, or is there still a long way to go?
I think we still have a long way to go, because each year in the United States, we lose about 600,000 people die because of cancer.
Because it's the number one cause of cancer-related death.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the lung cancer particularly, it kills about 158,000 men and women, mm-hmm. and 1.7 million in over worldwide. So there is an urgent and critical unmet clinical needs here.
But, I mean, not everybody with lung cancer dies, right? Like, so there must be, I mean, because otherwise everybody who's listening to this show thinking about people who've got lung cancer are going to get really scared. There are some treatments, right?
That's true.
So talk a little bit about what the treatments are currently. So if I come in, God forbid, to your clinic today, and let's say I've got lung cancer, how would I be treated?
Okay. So there is a very well-established line of treatment for patients who have a different disease state in lung cancer. Mm-hmm. As you know, the lung cancer also has four different stages, mm-hmm. and particularly the later advanced stage is very difficult to treat. So because many the lung cancer patients were coming to the clinic at later stages, and we have very limited the method to treat these patients. So the best thing is people who are aware of the lung cancer and do the routine examination, and then find if there's any lung cancer, their lung cancer early stages. Mm-hmm. However, if they come later stages, we have few options. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying few options is still the 5-year survival rate of lung cancer is about 17% at this stage.
17.
Yeah.
So few key points, I guess. The first is the need for screening. And my understanding is that there really isn't a whole lot of great lung cancer screening out there. It's not like it's breast cancer and you can get a mammogram every year.
That's correct. There's no good way of screening lung cancer. We use the X-ray, we use the spirometry, the low-dose CT type of thing. However, there's no definitive screening method like other cancers.
Right.
And a lot of people and physician scientists are hard working really hard on identifying those biomarkers that can use for early detection of the lung cancer.
Yeah. And I know that we've had discussions on Yale Cancer Center Answers in the past with Frank Detterbeck talking about how now, especially for people who have a significant smoking history, that spiral CT may be used for screening. But lung cancer happens in non-smokers too. So trying to catch those cancers early gets to be difficult, I guess, and that's why people present late.
That's correct, especially the people who doesn't have any smoking history. They are still pretty good percentage, like 15% of lung cancer patients are from non-smokers. Mm. So particularly those patients are really difficult to identify because there's no the prior history in their family or no the obvious risk factors that is exposed to develop the lung cancer. So the lung cancer is really difficult to treat. And
So you know, when we talk about later stages, especially, I mean, in most cancers, later stages are treated with chemotherapy. So does chemotherapy not work in lung cancer, or does it work in some lung cancers but not others?
Yeah, definitely this is patients-to-patients cases because some patients respond to chemotherapy. However, the later stages, it's very difficult to treat chemotherapy. Mm. But now we are developing a new therapy, targeted therapy, and recently immunotherapy things.
So that's a very nice transition into the state of the science now. Now, I understand that you are part of a group of investigators here at Yale who have gotten a very large grant called a SPORE. You want to tell us what a SPORE is and why that is so important and so prestigious and actually may make a difference in the field?
The SPORE is the acronym of Specialized Program Research Excellence, and this program was developed originally by NIH to support the translational research that brings the scientific findings in the laboratory to clinic,
mm-hmm.
and so that patients can have better opportunities of a new clinical effective treatment. And so to explain this, the SPORE here is maybe too short, and we may not have enough time, but let me try to briefly explain this. The Yale Lung SPORE is led by Drs. Roy Herbst and Liping Chen, and it is composed of four main projects and three core projects that support the main project, and also developmental research project and the career development program that can identify and nourish the junior scientists and physicians in this research area. So in this program, over 100 scientists and physicians are working really hard together to find new methods of lung cancer treatment and prevention.
Yeah, so I wanna jump in here just for a brief second to really highlight to our listeners how important that is, because the key phrase really is translation, and I think that that's often a buzzword that we throw around, and we talk about bench to bedside and back again research, and we talk about physicians and scientists, and we banter those terms around as though they really don't mean anything. But, you know, putting it into context, and I think right now it's particularly meaningful to put that into context when you think about Joe Biden and his son who recently got cancer, and now he is moving forth this whole moonshot project. And one of the things for our listeners who have heard Joe talk, he really does talk about team science and bringing together scientists who are doing that critical research at the laboratory bench side and making sure that they're communicating and talking with and collaborating with the clinicians, seeing the patients at the bedside, because it's only when you really bring those two groups of people, those two sets of brain power together, that you can really start making significant differences. And so that really is at the crux, I think, of what a SPORE is. Is that right?
Right. Actually, SPORE is really bring a bridging between lab scientists and clinics in the physician in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the findings, it is scientific findings, it's very difficult to interpret and then translate or to move these findings into clinic without any the science that supports this transition.
Mm-hmm.
So SPORE is really a tremendous amount of the scientific findings and translate and into bring drugs and methods and treatment into a clinic so that patients get benefit out of this.
That's right. And it can start leading to clinical trials. And, Lord, we've talked so much on the show about about the benefit of clinical trials. So tell me a little bit more about some of the projects that are going on in the spore and some of the science that's really being investigated and what promise it holds for new therapies.
Yes. One of the recent therapy that is really highlighting in oncology community is the immunotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And this immunotherapy is specifically targeting the immune blocking the immune surveillance system in human. So what I'm saying is, in human, our immune system is continuously scanning to find the bad and malignant cells and get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
However, cancer cells are really smart and evolve escaping from the immune surveillance system.
Mm-hmm.
So this immunotherapy is basically restore the human immune surveillance system so that we can the immune cells can find the cancer cells and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And this spore, one of the project, is really the working toward that immunotherapy, because the current limitation with the immunotherapy is about 20 to 30% of cancer patients are responding to this drug. Remaining 70-80% patients are not responding to this miraculous the immunotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Roy Herbst and Liping Chen and in our department is working on to identify a new method targeting those patients who are not responding to current immunotherapy or resistant or recurring by the immunotherapy.
So they're trying to figure out, if I understand you correctly, why even with using immunotherapies, which are supposed to kind of take away the invisibility cloak of these cancer cells that makes them hide from the immune system, why that immunotherapy still doesn't work in a fairly substantial number of patients. And so how far are they on that? Have they figured that out? Because, my goodness, if they could figure out what to do with the people who don't respond and why they don't respond and figure out how to make them respond, well, we might be on the verge of something really great in terms of potentially, dare I say, even finding a cure for lung cancer. Maybe not quite cure, but
yeah, we are
pretty
really,
decent therapy.
Right. We're really working toward that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best person to answer your question is Dr. Roy Herbst.
Yeah, but Roy's not here. He's off in a clinic somewhere treating patients.
Oh, yeah. He's so busy treating these patients because the Yale Cancer Center is really the home of the immunotherapy because mm-hmm. Our landmark study for this immunotherapy was originally reported by a group of physicians at Yale, including the Roy Herbst and the Mario Snow and Scott Gettinger and Dan Petrylak.
Mm-hmm.
So here, patients heard about those studies, those landmark studies, and see the outcomes of the response of the therapy. So patients coming in. And so we have our physicians are really busy in taking care of those patients.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I wonder how many of our listeners really know that, you know, the landmark studies in immunotherapy, whether it's in lung cancer or in melanoma, really came out of Yale science and were published by Yale doctors. And it's really so wonderful to see that moving forward and the fact that we're able to build on our previous strengths and previous publications and now trying to really even hone it further and figure out, well, why do some people not respond and other people do? What other therapies or promising treatments are coming out of your research and out of the spore?
Yes. One of the topics that we are currently working on is the patients who are not responding to those immunotherapy. And we are identifying new targets. We try to identify a new combination therapy and so that we can expand the spectrum of patients that we can treat. And another one is basic scientist and translational cancer biologist, we are trying to identify totally new targets.
Mm-hmm.
And recently we identified one of the targets that is not known as therapeutic target.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one of the E2F transcription factor family member. And this is called E2F8. We reported these findings that this E2F8 is a good therapeutic target in recent journal of the National Cancer Institute. And we are developing a new method and new drugs targeting this transcription factor E2F8. And this E2F8 is really overly expressed in the majority of human cancers. And we are hoping that we can develop a new drugs targeting this E2F8 in the near future.
So, Peter, this is so exciting. I mean, finding new targets, looking at combination targets for people who may not respond to immunotherapy. Are these now in clinical trials, or are we still in that translational phase trying to figure out if these combinations will work?
Yes, we are in the currently translational period because the scientific findings to clinic, there is a huge gap. Even mm-hmm. though we say easy, but you know, it's to translate those scientific findings into clinic takes a numerous supports and fundings and interest and resources.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing these things through the spore and through new initiatives such as Moonshot program. So we are hoping that all of those resources can support and provide some additional resources for our studies so that we can translate our scientific findings into clinic more rapidly, because we know this is very the critical target, important for future clinical usage, but to translate this, we need the more data and more findings
right.
and more supportive studies.
But a lot of our patients who are listening to this podcast, they're asking themselves one question, which is, when are those targets, when are those therapies going to be in clinical trials so that people can avail themselves of that? Do you think that's going to happen in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? What's your sense?
Currently, we are talking with the peoples and business sectors so that we can move this project forward into clinic. We are expecting 18 to 24 months. And after finishing those the studies that are required for FDA approval, then we can move on to this in clinical trial.
Yeah.
We hope in 2 years.
Yeah, that is so exciting. Mm. So exciting work. And it's just amazing to hear what fabulous work is going on at Yale with the lung spore and in immunotherapies and finding new targets that really will help to get the therapies that will help us to treat these cancers so much better. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Koo. It was such a wonderful discussion about your research and the development of new cancer drugs. Until next time, this is Dr. Anish Chagpar wishing you all a safe and healthy time.
This has been another edition of Yale Cancer Center Answers. We hope that you have learned something new and meaningful. If you have questions, go to yalecancercenter.org for more information about cancer and the resources available to you. We hope that you will join us again for another discussion on the progress being made here and around the world in the fight against cancer.